It's good to be reminded every week of our responsibility of not only remembering what Jesus did for us, but that we need to follow in his steps and be willing to suffer as he did to obey the Lord's command and also be willing to die in order to obey the Lord's command. In the scriptures, the Lord gives us many different words, and many say the King James Version is a very difficult version to read, but the real problem is not the version, the real problem is the wisdom of God. And as we deal with the definitions that God gives in his word, we need to be very careful to define things as he does and not as the world does. For example, in Luke, the 10th chapter, Luke 10, beginning of verse 25, God's definitions are also very different than the definitions of the world. He tells about the Good Samaritan. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So here is a man that wants to go to heaven. And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." He'd obviously heard what Jesus' answer was previously, and he answered correctly. And verse 28, he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Well, how many of us would ask that question today? And of course, we all know who our neighbor is. But Jesus then answered him concerning the Good Samaritan. And then verse 36 asked the question, "Now, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" So here is a different expression. Who was neighbor? Then in verse 37, "And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go thou and do likewise." Now notice Jesus told this man, love your neighbor. And then the definition was, where the neighbor is someone who helps somebody else. Well, that's a strange definition there. And he wants us to be neighbor, to be those that help other people. So in verse 37, he said, "He that showed mercy on him," then the Lord said unto him, "Go thou and do likewise." The Lord gave him understanding here, and so he answered correctly. Well, we need to have that same definition for us. We need to be the neighbor, and as we help somebody else, we then become the neighbor. So we have God's definition. Similarly, in this world, we have many definitions of what it means to be a brother. And so in the scriptures, it reaches out to include some of the same tribe or the same group, not just an immediate brother. And it reached out to make Jacob's uncle, Laban, his brother. He was his uncle, but the scripture says he was his brother. And then it extended to include Jesus' four stepbrothers as actual brothers. So God's definition of these things is very important for us to understand what God's truth really is. In Matthew 25, and we'll not read 31 through 40, he tells about Judgment Day and where all nations are gathered together, and he separates them as sheep from goats. And then the king would say, "Come, you blessed of my Father," in verse 34, "inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then he tells why. "For I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in." And then the righteous answer, "Lord, when did we see you here?" And Jesus answered then, "The one who does the unto the brethren, these my brethren, you've done it unto me," at verse 40. Let's read that. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." So a brother then to Jesus is defined as someone who is in God's household. So if we help anyone in God's family, we are helping one of Jesus' brethren. So that's the criterion. If you've helped my brother on this earth, then you enter this eternal portal. So is it important for us to know who the brother is, who Jesus' brethren are? So in Matthew 25, he then deals with the wicked, and then in verse 45 says, "Then he answered them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, least of these, you did it not unto me." So men help men, it's true, but they don't help men because they're Jesus' brethren. They help men because they are fellow men. Well, in Matthew the 12th chapter, verse 47 to 50, we're still asking the question, who are Jesus' true brethren? Then one said unto him, Behold, my mother and my brethren, thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto them that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. So what kind of people were standing there in front of Jesus? Well, he tells here in the next verse, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So when we're looking for those who are truly Jesus' brethren, we are looking for those who have a mind to willingly serve the Father and do the will of the Father. And in Matthew 25, verse 40, sometimes we discern a brother as being a weak brother or someone is a strong brother. Matthew 25, verse 40. The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So as far as Jesus is concerned, any of those in God's family who are willing to do the will of the Father, even if they can't do it, they're willing to do the will of the Father, those are the ones that are Jesus' genuine brothers. So we need to find that kind of people so that we can serve that kind of people. So on Judgment Day, if we stand there before the Lord and say, Well, Lord, really, I thought these people were your brethren, so therefore I served him, so therefore I'm okay, right? It might not work that way. We need to be sure that we're finding and helping those who are truly Jesus' brethren. Romans 8, chapter, verse 29, he says, For those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So being a brother of Christ is very important, not only for us to find a brother to serve, but also for us to be one of Jesus' brethren. In John the 6th chapter, verse 41 to 44, we're asking now, who are the ones God accepts as his children? John 6, verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. No one can come unto me. No one can be a brother to Jesus unless the Father is the one that drew them. And then in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. So who are Jesus' brethren? Well, they've been taught by God, obviously through the scriptures. And not only have they been taught of God, but they also are the ones that come to God. They've been taught and learned of the Father. So they're the ones that are Jesus' genuine brethren. In Matthew 13, verse 19, we've gone over this scripture many times, but it fits in here well. Matthew 13, verse 19, When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So who are the ones then that God draws to Jesus and who are genuinely Jesus' brethren. And here he tells us they've got to not only hear the Word of God, but they are the ones that are going to understand the Word of God. And then he tells us in 2 Timothy 2:7 that God is involved in this understanding. This is why and how the Lord draws men to Christ. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So who's involved in all this conversion here and making those children of God and brethren for Christ? In John, the first chapter, verses 12 and 13, a man is not a child of God because he decides he's going to be one. That is obviously involved in it, but notice in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So is it just the will of man that makes a man a brother to Christ? Or is this the will of God that makes somebody a brother to Christ? And then he mentions here, as many as received him. So in John 6 and verse 47, this scripture is used to show that you can be saved by faith only. But we got to take it also in its proper context. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. So how do we believe on Christ? Well, we go back there to John, the first chapter, in verse 10, and we see how Jesus' brethren believe on him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. So what is Jesus? If we believe in Jesus, we believe that Jesus is the creator of the world. And we see that he is different from the Father. So we're not believing the Trinity here as the world defines it. We're believing the scriptures that Jesus is the one that created the world. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They received him as a carpenter, but they did not receive him as the creator of the world. So if he's creator of the world, does he have any authority? Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So God then discerns that here is a man who is a brother of Christ, who has received Jesus as the creator of the world. And then God then gives him the power to become a child of God. So God's involved in all of these things. Then in John, the first chapter, in verse 13, these are the ones born of God, not born of the flesh, or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. These people are born of God. Now, these are not just ordinary people. And someone can't say, well, I'm a brother of Jesus, or I'm a sister of Jesus. God has to do that work. In 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, again, we see more of God's work in making someone one of Jesus' brethren. 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and here's the key, if God peradventure will give them repentance. So God has to be the one to give the understanding. God has to be the one to give the repentance. God has to be the one to draw them to Christ. So God is fully involved in all these things, and then they will acknowledge the truth once they are given this repentance from God. So what does it mean then to have this new mind? 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter, verse 17. Again, he defines those who are Jesus' brethren by defining those who are in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, so anyone who's in Christ has these qualifications. Number one, he's a new creature. Why? Because all the old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So there's been a great change on anyone who is a brother to Christ. Now, if we don't find this great change in men, are they really Jesus' genuine brethren? We need to be able to find those who are genuine brethren to Christ. And then in in 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, notice the power that God gives them to become children of God, and this power that he gives them to recover themselves from the snare of the devil. He said that they, who's the they? They that have been given this repentance from God, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So these people then have recovered themselves out of the snare of the devil if they belong to Jesus' brethren. In John the 7th chapter, verse 17, again he tells us another sign of those that are genuine brethren of Christ. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If anyone wills to do his will, he'll know of the doctrine. Well, if he doesn't know the doctrine, is he a child of God? Is he a brother to Christ? And if he does this, he's got to will to do the will of the Father. So there's another criterion for those that are genuine brethren. And we need to find those who really are, not just members of the church, or, as Brother John mentioned this morning, not just those who are baptized. We need to find those that are genuine brethren. So in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, we're still asking, who are Jesus' true brethren? And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So here are those that are Jesus' brethren who don't live unto themselves, but they have in mind they're going to be living unto him that died and rose again, which of course is Christ. And then he tells us then in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Why? And verse 15 tells us why. Because there have been two major changes. Number one, he no longer lives for self. Number two, he's living only for Christ. So when we find this kind of people, we're finding a very special people. And we need to be sure that we are loving that kind of people especially. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, we find people in the world who think they're Jesus' brethren and tell everyone they're Jesus' brethren and talk like they're Jesus' brethren. But notice now the criterion here of judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So if anyone will to do his will, he'll know of the doctrine. That's what this person is that will inherit the kingdom of and enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 22, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They thought they were Jesus' brethren, but were they? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. So here are men that are very active religiously. And so we may discern, well, these people are genuinely Jesus' brethren. But Jesus says in verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So we've got to be able to discern hearts. We've got to be able to see those that genuinely are willing to do the will of the Father, that genuinely are born of the Father, that genuinely are true brethren of Christ. Romans the 10th chapter, Romans 10, 13 to 17, he talks about those that have heard the gospel. And then in verse 16 he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So who are the ones who have genuinely obeyed the gospel? Well, they're the ones that receive Christ as the creator of the world. In Matthew 28:18, because he is creator of the world, and because the Father then ordained him, in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me, and that's of the word authority here, exousia. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So if he has all this power and all this authority, then who are the ones that are Jesus' brethren but those who are going to be obeying that authority? And they will have a mind. Jesus has the authority. I'm going to be doing exactly what he says. And then in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That literally is go and make disciples of all nations. And Luke 6 tells us that those who are disciples are made like the Master. Who are those who are Jesus' brethren? They are the ones who are seeking to be like their older brother. They're seeking to be like Christ. So if we find somebody very dedicated to God, and yet they're not desiring to be like Christ, do they really receive the authority of Christ? Because this authority says, go make disciples of all nations. So we're needing to discern then who is a genuine brother of Christ and who is not. Now, in 1 Peter 4, verse 17 and 18, we like to be gentle and very kind, and we like to be very lenient on those that are in the world. And so we say, well, maybe they're sincere people. Maybe they're God's children. We're not going to condemn them. But look what the Lord says. He says, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. They're your Jesus' brethren. And if it first begin at us, what shall be at the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Well, we can be kind to people and say, well, I think he's going to heaven. But what does the Lord say here? He says, the righteous are scarcely going to be saved. We've got to run that race. And if we find people that are not willingly running that race, what do we find? We don't find a genuine brother of Christ because we don't find a genuine disciple of Christ, and we don't find someone who is accepting the Lord's authority. Well, we've gone over a few of the criterion here, and the Lord told the Ephesians, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and of the household of God. These brethren were genuine. They were truly willing to do the will of the Father. Well, not only should we look for those others who are genuinely Jesus' brethren, maybe we should look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I one of these that are genuinely Jesus' a brother or a sister of Jesus? We need to fit all these criterion. We need to be willing to do his will. We need to be born of God. We need to be willing to accept his authority in heaven and in earth and do every single thing that he wants us to do. We need to be willingly serving the Father and loving the Father like Jesus did. And we need to have a mind to become like Christ, like Jesus did. Are we genuinely brethren of Christ? So today, as we offer the invitation for anyone who's not a member, we would encourage you to consider those who are genuinely brethren. And those who need the prayers of the church, then we would encourage you to come in this invitation hymn while we stand together and sing.
Let us pray. Holy and loving Father, we thank you that we have been able to come here today to gather around the Lord's table to learn of you, and we pray, Father, to grow in spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word. Father, we thank you that we have your word to guide us, and we pray, Father, that we will seek it out and seek to obey your every command, to do your will, to live a life that is acceptable unto you. Please help us, Father, to know you and to know your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And we ask, Father, that we would grow in it daily. Please help us to put sin and Satan behind us, to seek to be like Christ and to have his mind and heart. And we ask, Father, that we will grow to that spiritual perfection that is Christ. And we ask, Father, that we will not be beset by temptations and evil in this world. We know they are constantly around us, and it is easy to be beset by them and to fall to temptation. Please help us to be strong in resisting Satan and avoiding the evil. And Father, we pray that you would please be with those who have been mentioned today who are sick, who are not well, who are recovering from illness. We pray you be with them and heal them, return them to us, please. And we pray you be with those who have lost loved ones, and we ask your blessings upon their families, and please comfort them. Father, we know that all blessings come from above, and we pray that we will not take these for granted. We thank you, Father, that you bless us each and every moment of each and every day. And we pray that we will not lose sight of where these blessings come from, but we will know that not only are you our creator, but you also provide these many blessings, great and small, physical and spiritual. Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you that he came here to this earth, that he walked and taught here, that he went to Calvary there and died a terrible death. But we thank you, Father, that he suffered the pain and agony and the death. And we thank you, Father, that he was buried and he was resurrected. We thank you that he rose from the grave and and gave us a way to inherit eternal life through the shedding of his blood. And we ask that we will remember the sacrifice he made, never take it for granted, but to remember he paid that price for us. Please be with us as we depart this place, and we pray that you will bring us back at the next appointed hour to learn more of you and to grow in the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that is your word. We ask that your name be glorified and will be done in all things, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.